Stillman and Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, and YouTube thanks to the law offices of Amanda Gentry. By the way, you've got a chance, speaking of streaming, you've got a chance to win Vanderbilt tickets. Joe would love these. He loves the Vanderbilt stuff. Just go on to the 102.5 The Game. Subscribe to the YouTube page, which we have said is kind of part of Caroline's job, is to get people to subscribe to the YouTube page. So subscribe to that for your chance to win Vanderbilt, Missouri football tickets. Once you subscribe, email us, at CromwellMedia.com. Promotions at CromwellMedia.com with your YouTube handle. One winner will be chosen on Monday, October 15th. Joe Rexroad is here for Jared versus Joe. How are we doing today, Joe?
I'm doing great. What do you mean I've talked a lot of trash? What kind of trash have I talked?
Joe, my mentions have been on fire thanks to you.
I'm sorry.
You know what I was thinking about?
You guys can't count. What can I say?
You know what I was thinking about? Like the writers of the world are, you know, they stick up their nose at almost everything. And Joe is a writer at heart. And they hate like the term embrace debate, like these TV shows like First Take and Skip Bayless. And they hate all this stuff. And I got to believe in Joe's heart, he hates embrace debate. And yet he comes on every week for a segment called Jared versus Joe.
I come on here because I need to help you, my friend. I will say I do not watch your hero in life, Skip Bayless, much. But, you know, I don't thumb my nose. I'm not some elitist. I just don't think those shows have all that much good content. But this segment always has good content.
Let me tell the folks, join Joe this Saturday from 11 to 1 at Pella Windows and Doors of Nashville, located at 277 Mallory Station Road in Cool Springs. The game will have your chance to win tickets to an upcoming Preds game and give away some great prizes. It's Pella's open house with huge savings and last chance to take advantage of 2021 pricing. Bring your window and door measurements to the Pella showroom and receive additional 10% off advertised promos. Pella will be open from 9 to 3 p.m. for this event. Time now for Jared versus Joe.
Jared Stillman versus Joe Rexroad. Now on Stillman and Company.
On ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
First and foremost, Derrick Henry is riding his MVP campaign currently. He is carrying this Titans team on his back. Do you agree or disagree? Joe, we will start with you. Matt LaFleur and Mike Vrabel mismanaged Derrick Henry in 2018.
Oh, I'm so glad you. I mean, this is like an all timer. This could take the whole thing.
Good, by all means.
It's absolutely ridiculous. And the thing is, and I know Jared believes it so much in his heart. But the thing that troubles me here is that Jared won't listen to Derrick Henry. He won't listen to Eddie George. He won't go back. I mean, look, they went and won a Monday Night Football game that season, and Derrick Henry had basically been relegated to like a few carries a game. Deion Lewis was actually great in this Monday Night Football game. They come back, play New England. They kill New England on this day. Derrick Henry has been dropped to number 3 in the depth chart. And then, of course, he quickly came back. And, gosh, remind me right now, Jared, who got hurt? Who blew their knee? Who elevated past him at number 2?
David Flewellen.
Thank you. David Flewellen. Flewellen. And by the way, as Chris Mortensen reported that year, the Titans were considering dealing him. So first of all, if you're going to talk about mismanagement, you have to expand the scope beyond Vrabel and LaFleur anyway. But no, Derrick Henry was not Derrick Henry then, was not Derrick Henry today. I understand that he had a great playoff game at Kansas City. There were flashes of greatness from the start with him. He was not consistent. Maybe it was just as simple as you got to give him 25, 30 carries, let him figure it out. But if you listen to him, listen to the people around him. Listen to Tony Dews, Vrabel, whoever you want. He had not figured it out yet. That was his first year in this offense, 2018. And when he did at the end of the year, it became this incredible story of a player improving in the NFL, which I know some people can't wrap their heads around, that players can actually improve in the NFL and become different players. That's exactly what has happened. And I think even Derrick Henry today from a year ago is a different player. I think he continues to ascend as a player. So no, they did not mismanage it. They were looking, they had the information in front of them. He was inconsistent, admittedly so. He called himself trash at one point, which was a little bit overstating it, But to go back and Monday morning quarterback the stuff around him then is to ignore what he's trying to tell you for years now.
So I'll say this. Do we ever listen to anything Derrick Henry says? Does he ever say anything that points a finger at anybody else? He's the best player on this team. This team sucks without him, and he'll never say it. He always talks about how great the line is. It doesn't matter if it's Jack Conklin at right tackle or a practice squad guy. So what Derrick Henry says doesn't really matter to me because he's not going to tell you how he feels. It's like Belichick. He's not going to tell you how he feels. Now, I will say this. You talk about that it wasn't mismanagement. I think a game in which Deion Lewis gets 20 carries for 57 yards and Derek gets 11 for 58 and two touchdowns against the Patriots is mismanagement. They mismanaged it. Everybody talks about this Buffalo game. You know, if you take the 76-yard run from Derrick Henry out, Derek only had, well, guess what? You can't. And Derrick Henry had to hit a 99-yarder before Matt LaFleur woke up and thought, you know what, maybe I should give this guy the ball. You should note, the first game of that season, the 2018 season, Marcus got hurt and the thunderstorms in Miami and all of that, Derrick had a game-changing run that was taken away by a phantom Jerome Boger holding call. If Derrick hits that run, he probably shows you and ends up with 130 yards that day, and everybody's saying, Derrick, Derrick, Derrick. They did not know what they had. Any general manager who tried to trade Derrick Henry should be, I mean, I'm not going to say Robinson should be fired, but that is a fireable offense to have traded away a Derrick Henry. And Vrabel didn't know, and LaFleur didn't know, and Robinson didn't know, and that's why they gave crappy Deion Lewis the football. And by the way, before Vrabel took over as coach, Derrick Henry had 23 carries for 156 yards and one touchdown against the Kansas City Chiefs in a playoff win at Arrowhead. He was winning playoff games for this franchise before Vrabel showed up. They put him third on the depth chart behind David Flewellen. And if he doesn't run for 99 yards against Jacksonville, he may never get to be the Derrick Henry that he is today, which has carried this terrible team the last 3 years to the playoffs twice and an AFC title game.
So here's the thing real quick, Jared. You're right that Derrick would never blame a teammate, say this guy stinks, that guy stinks, whatever. That's fine. But self-analysis, and by the way, Derrick Henry this year for the first time is really starting to open up and talk about anything. So at that point, good, bad, and different, Derrick Henry didn't say anything. But about himself, very specifically what he wasn't doing well, very specifically what he improved, what he figured out, he elaborated. And that's really the only time in his career until this year that happened. That's not the same as, oh, yeah, the offensive line's good, blah, blah, I'm going to be unselfish. That's fine. He was telling you something very specific, very important, very real, and you still don't want to hear him. It's unbelievable. I mean, it really is.
It's not that I don't want to hear him. It's that I believe that he had that in him the whole time because he did that before he had the talk with Eddie George.
But he hadn't found it, Jared. He hadn't found it.
Joe, 19 for 62 from Deion Lewis. 6 for 27 for Derek. Give him the ball. Give him the ball. They're giving it to Deion Lewis. Deion Lewis was terrible. He was terrible then. Like, Derek almost saved that season. He took him to the AFC title game the next season. Like, I don't think Derrick Henry went from being the greatest high school running back ever to a Heisman Trophy winner and a national champion to then not good as a backup under Mike Mularkey and carrying you in the playoffs to then not any good, talk to Eddie George, put his head on the pillow, woke up one day, and was the best player in the NFL. I don't think that's how that works. I think Matt LaFleur didn't know what he had, and Vrabel didn't know what he had, and Robinson didn't know what he had.
Listen, there may be some truth. I mean, no one, you, Derek's mom, I don't care who you want to say, no one knew then he was going to be this now, okay?
Ian, always banging the table for Derek?
I don't know about 2,000 yards rushing, though.
Hey, I said 1,600.
Jared, you complained when they drafted him. So don't even try to start doing all this revisionist history stuff like you were always saying he was going to be great. Listen, it's not just that he talked to Eddie George. Again, this was his first year in that offense. You want to talk about snooty writers? I've written about 10 million words about Derrick Henry figuring out this scheme. It's not as simple as here's the ball, go run through that hole. Oh, you're going left or you're going right. There's a lot to it. He did not immediately pick it up. There's a lot of nuance to it. He's a technician. He's not just a great athlete. It took him time. He figured it out. And it's that simple. It was him. It's his growth. That's the story. It is not a story of anybody around him.
On to the next one, staying in the NFL. Some Deshaun Watson trade rumors lingering around. If you are Chris Greer, Miami Dolphins GM, would you make this move knowing that you are taking on a ton of baggage and that that quarterback that you just traded for may or may not go to jail? Jared, you start.
No, I would not trade for Deshaun Watson. I understand why they would want to. Here's the thing about the situation the Dolphins find themselves in. The Dolphins went with a total rebuild strategy, and I think the total rebuild strategy was built around Tua. They got Tua, and now they're getting embarrassed because the guy who was picked after Tua is much, much better than Tua. But the truth is that I wonder if they think that trading for Deshaun Watson will be kind of the way that they save themselves. And I've always been told by a former general manager in the NFL that there's two things you can do. You can protect your job or you can do your job. And protecting your job would be banking it all on Deshaun Watson and saying, hey, you know, we made the move for Watson and he went to prison. So what are we supposed to do? I think it's incredibly short-sighted that if they believed in Tua so much and they tore it down to build around him to already be done with him, I'm not sure I love. I also think that this trade is going to be really funky and how it gets done, like with protections and things of that magnitude. But I would not do this for Deshaun Watson because you brought up baggage. I think of it like, what is the message to your players and to their families and to everything else that you're willing to risk this on that right now, given that it's unresolved? And I think there would be a lot of players that would be really disappointed that their team is investing on what feels like a long shot at this point, which is for Deshaun Watson to be cleared.
Joe, your thoughts?
I hate to disagree, but I will. Excuse me. And this is very much, I'm all choked up here on this topic. This is very much based on price. But listen, I think they are out on Tua. I think that that's been clear for a couple months now. And if that's how you feel, as much as I hate to say it, because a lot this stuff around Deshaun Watson is ugly stuff, I still think you read the tea leaves, and I don't think he's going to go to prison unless there's new information that emerges. I think he's going to have some time taken away from him, but ultimately I think he's going to be playing in this league for a long time, and you're still talking about a generational talent, and someone is going to have that talent in this league. We know this about the NFL. Sure. So I think that if you can find the right price, and because you're doing it now, it helps the price. I think you have to seriously look at it.
Do you have a rebuttal, or shall we move on to the next?
No, I mean, I think desperate measures call. I think you asked me would I take on the baggage.
Yeah.
I wouldn't. I think they're going to do it. And I told you what I think they're going to do is I think they're going to trade thirds that be like thirds and fourths that become conditional firsts if Deshaun plays a game. And then that way they can say, hey, we're protected. We traded a fourth and a fifth, or we traded a third and a fourth, and they become conditional firsts if Deshaun plays. So then that way we're kind of protected. And I think they're doing it because they're chasing the mistake of Tua. And I don't love it, but I wouldn't do it. But I definitely think they're going to do it. I mean, if Mark Berman's reporting they're going to do it, they're going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think they're definitely doing it.
On to the next one. The Predators sent Cody Glass to Milwaukee, scratch Philip Tomasino just 2 games into the season. Joe, you go first. Are John Hines and David Poile making adjustments to the young guys too quickly?
I would say so. If you're not going to let them have any run at all, I mean, again, it's one game for Tomasino before he's a healthy scratch. I'm trying to understand what you saw in training camp that earned the spot, and then what was so bad, like in the one game, that it was unearned. You know, I'm a bit confused by that. I understand you're going to change the lineup. I mean, I guess, first of all, I would hope Tomasino would be back in the lineup tomorrow night. I mean, I don't understand that. And I also don't understand moving Cody Glass this quickly to Milwaukee. Look, you, at some point as a coach, John Hines can't worry that the fans want to see the youth move, and he can't worry about what we're talking about. He has to scratch out a win every night. And with this team, that's exactly what it is. It is scratching out a win on a nightly basis. Can you get two? Can you get two goals? Can you get three? My goodness, what a bounty. So you have to figure that out. And if Rocco Grimaldi right now is playing well, fine. But it's hard for me to believe that you're convinced, given the limitations you have through the rest of your forward lineup, that they can't provide you anything right now already.
So I think it's all kind of a Ponzi scheme. Like, I think that they got, that they hyped up a bunch of guys that they thought could win a cup with. It didn't. And I think Poyle has been kind of chasing kind of the fan dissatisfaction for a while. Like, it felt to me like they signed these long-term contracts for guys like Johansson and Duchesne, and it doesn't work out. So they fire Laviolette because they have too many good players that aren't playing well. Not that they signed too many guys that they shouldn't have signed. Couldn't it be me? So they fire Laviolette. They bring in Hines. Hines' job is to get those guys playing well. Hines doesn't get them playing well. They then decide that they're going to go younger. But then they don't go younger because it's more advantageous to make the playoffs last year by playing older guys. Because older guys, like Ryan Fitzpatrick, gives you a better chance to win as a quarterback than a rookie. But long term, you're better off with playing the rookie. So Hines wants to win, especially this year, given that it's the last year of his contract. So after getting knocked out in the first round of the playoffs, everybody knows now that it's not going to be one splashy guy that comes in here that makes a big difference. So they sell us on the youth movement. They acquire guys that we've never heard of, like Cody Glass. They hype them up because they were picked high in the draft. And they say, hey, this is our future. We're going to play the young guys. They put Tomasino on the opening night roster because we're going to play the young guys. Hines gets him, realizes Cody Glass has been traded twice because he's not any good, and realizes Tomasino's probably not ready, but that the fans don't want to hear it, but he's got to win because his contract's up at the end of the year. So this is this kind of discombobulated mixed messaging that we're hearing. I think on one side, they say things like, we want to get younger and competitively rebuild, and they want, because they can't admit the truth. And Hines looks at it and says, Grimaldi gives me a better chance to win right now than, say, Tomasino, even though I think Tomasino needs to play because they need to know what Tomasino is. And we've been told that, you know, the youth movement's coming. But if my contract was up at the end of the year and the people that paid my checks cared about me making the playoffs, then I would want to go with the guy that gives me a better chance to win one game tonight. And that's what Hines is doing. And ultimately, I think it's bad for the franchise. But it's all this mixed messaging. And I think it goes back to what I said. There's doing your job and there's protecting your job. And I think right now, John Hines is protecting his job and he's not doing his job. And he needs to play the young guys as promised so that we can see if these guys can play at that level. And that would be doing his job.
Well, but is winning not his job?
No, it's not right now. I mean, to me, it's not. Like, I'll ask you this question. Is winning the job right now of, try to think of a young the New York Jets, Robert Saleh. What's more important, developing Zach Wilson or winning games right now for the Jets?
It's more important to develop Zach Wilson, but that's a very flawed comparison. I mean, this is still a team that went to the playoffs last year. The Jets have been the dregs of professional sports for a long time, right? I mean,
I'll give you an example.
It's a twofold job, but ultimately, I don't think you're just hiding and protecting your job by trying to win. You have to win. Believe me, from above, last year, the emphasis, what they did and didn't do at the trading deadline, all the messaging is, yeah, we still expect to win and get to the playoffs, John, so go ahead and do that. They're not saying it doesn't matter, the bottom line. You just get these young guys ready for the future.
But ultimately, they can't do what they want to do. Like, the organization will not do what they need to do if they do not figure out, you know, if they don't actually go in the direction of playing young players. Like, what they say they're going to do and what they actually do is not the same thing. And I don't know if it's ownership that's telling Hines to do that. But, like, I'll tell you a story. Like, Leo Mazzoni told a story, the longtime pitching coach of the Braves in the 90s, that in 1990, Bobby Cox took, you know, John Smoltz, Tom Glavine, Steve Avery, Charlie Liebrandt, and somebody else and said, hey, you five are my starters next year. So don't worry about the rest of the season. Don't worry about spring training. You guys are my starters. Go out there and pitch. And I think Tom Glavine, like, led the league in losses in 1988 or something like that. That's what you're going to have to do, but nobody really wants to do it because, to your point, Hines is getting fired. If they fully commit to the young players, they will lose and Hines will probably get fired. And I understand it, but I'm just telling you that I think it's in the best interest to see if these young guys can play and they need to get the experience. Like, Tomasino's got to play. Him sitting on the bench is bad, even if it's a Milwaukee or here. But I would rather see the young guys play and decide whether or not these guys are good than watch Ben Harper and Rocco Grimaldi trot out on the ice, because I don't think there's any upside to that.
On to the next one. Is this the moment that we have all been waiting for? The fights that we have had via Twitter all week, are we ready to actually make them come to fruition in real life? Jared, you start. Make your case. Titans to Bill fans ratio in Nissan Stadium Monday night.
So I will say this. I'm going to use a binary.
Okay.
As in, you know, there's one answer or another. Was it 25% Bills fans or was it not 25% Bills fans as Joe estimated on the morning show? It was not 25% Bills fans. And I will say this. Joe got to sit in the ivory tower inside the press box, which is on the home side. And the only thing you can see down is the home side lower level. The people that have season tickets on that side are people that have been going to games for years, love the Titans, and have enough money that they don't need to sell those tickets to make any sort of payment on anything else or even think about selling their tickets. Whereas I sat on the other side in the club level, you sat in the 300 levels, mm-hmm. Chase sat in the 100 level, and we all believed that there were more Bill fans than there were Titan fans. And so Joe brought up the point that, listen, it's louder when the Titans do something well. Right, but then as Ladarius, our engineer yesterday, does a great job, brought up the idea that they play music and shoot off fireworks whenever the Titans do something good, and they don't anything when the Bills do anything good. So I think that probably skewed Joe's point about listen to the noise, because that's all Joe's got. Oh. And there is no way under any circumstances that it was only 25% Bill fans. It might have been like 25% Colts fans a couple of weeks ago, but it was no doubt 25% Bills fans. Get out. Get out with that 25%. To me, I got three different people, eyewitnesses, in three different sections, three different seating levels of the stadium that all think your 25% was nuts.
Well, I will say you may be right about the 25%. I thought that was too high. I think it was really more like 80-20. But I polled every single person in the press box that I could, which I do this quite a bit, because if I'm going to write in a story something about, you know, crowd, I try to write in there what I thought basically it was. And 2 years ago, the Bills had a very strong presence in the stadium, much stronger than Monday. You just threw three people at me. I'm still waiting to find a fourth. And I mean, I've been scouring the earth, guys.
Oh,
it's not even close. It's not even close. Look, yes, I'm in the press box, Jared. That means that I see the entire other side, including the upper bowl. But the noise, you're talking about touchdowns. I'm talking about any play.
How can you see from the press box? How can you see from the press box
the
300 levels on the other side and be able to tell who wearing a blue shirt is wearing a Titans blue shirt or a Buffalo blue shirt? It's not like this week where we'll see red everywhere. It's not like that where there's a difference between there's red and blue. This is not a Louisville and Kentucky game.
Yeah, I mean, there's lights. It was great. Like, it faces out, and then there's lights. It's pretty amazing, actually. So, basically, the only thing I didn't see was the upper behind me. And I acknowledge, I think with Caroline, it's defensible because she's in a section. And that's where the Bills fans were largely, was the upper deck. I believe people like Ryan Porth today was like, he thought it was about 50-50 Bills fans, Titans fans, upper. And I think probably about, he thought about 65-35 Titans overall. Because the lower was totally tightened, and that was very different from 2 years ago.
Porth texted me during the game, and I think he's been affected by this. Porth texted me during the game and said that he thought there were more Bills fans than Eagles fans on Monday night.
Yeah, again, like in the uppers, that's where they, but I think another thing, and you've heard this quite a bit too, a lot of Bills fans were very disappointed leaving here because they couldn't get into the thing. So I think one of the stories here that we're missing, or that Jared's missing, is that I think Titans fans this year are stepping up for this team like I haven't seen, and that's in the ratings as well, and created an incredible atmosphere. That was a fantastic home atmosphere. It's not just the fireworks for the touchdowns. Any play they made, it was a massive difference in noise. On the TV tape, you could tell too. But in the press box, there was no question about it. I mean, I was offended when people said they thought it was 30% Bills fans. And then I come and hear this more than 50. Listen, if you want to go binary, if it was even close to 50% Bills fans, I will paint myself in Bills colors and throw myself through a folding table. You know, if you can come up with the numbers to prove that to me, I'll do it for you right now.
I just don't know how you can tell based upon like looking at the other sideline and telling a difference between a Titan fan and a Bills fan when the colors are practically the same. Like the shade of blue is different, but there's no way you can see from your seat like which shade that is. We had this old guy that was really creepy that was sitting in front of us at the game. We called him Paw, and he was wearing like a Harley Davidson hat. And like he was like, and his wife, she was a Bills fan. You could tell. So I think they were Bills fans, and she was not having any part of Paw's drunkenness.
How could you tell?
She had a Bills shirt on, but Paw didn't. Oh, okay. And at the beginning, Paw was sitting in a different seat than he moved to later. And we were analyzing Paw throughout the night, this drunk old man with a Harley Davidson hat on. And he was wearing a blue shirt. I had no idea who he was rooting for. Like, it's not like, okay, you're wearing green, you're a Packer fan, right, and you're wearing orange, you're a Bengals fan. It's not like that. And I think Joe's got to recognize that.
Right. Well, the only thing that matters about crowd, like if people came to the game and just sat there silently, who would give a crap if you had a great home crowd, right? I mean, the only thing that matters is the atmosphere and the noise they create. And it was not close. And look, I mean, maybe for Caroline, I heard her say this. I was stunned to hear her say it. No, I didn't have that experience. I guess if you're surrounded by them in that area, it changes it. But I'm telling you, like if you're in just a separated area at all inside that stadium, it was 3-1, 4-1 noise level Titans versus Bills. And even the Titans players today were talking about, you know, how appreciative they were of that atmosphere and how they want it back again Sunday. They don't say that if it's a bowl game neutral atmosphere, man. That's what it used to be in the
Mike
past.
Mike Mularkey said after the Packer win a couple of years ago, he was asked about all those Packer fans. And you would agree with me that there was more than 25% Packer fans for that game.
Yes, but there was not 50%. I heard you say that.
Floyd even thought there was more than that. But anywho, yeah. Mike Mularkey was asked about the Packer fans, and he said, I want to talk about our fans who were great today and gave us a great home field and a great – so you can't say that. Caroline, who won?
Jared, you win today.
Yes!
Jared wins today. Not,
it was
rigged. Not only because it totally was 50-50 Bills fans, Titans fans. I mean, not just where I was sitting, because where I was sitting was very much so split, but just when I was walking from where I lived to Nissan Stadium, it was
But that's not inside the stadium!
Okay, but they were going to the game, walking to the game, walking into the game, in the stadium, walking from where I scan my tickets into my seats. It was 50-50 Bills fans, Titans fans. And it doesn't
utterly
matter.
Ridiculous.
I mean, we will never know the answer. At the end of the day, all that matters was it was a great environment.
Sorry to cut you off. But what do you think about 2018 Vrabel, LaFleur, and Robinson holding Henry back?
I'm with you. And that was that's what I was going to say second.
Yes!
Was I would get it if he was just any other player. But he was the best running back in high school football. He was the best player in college football. He didn't just overnight become some sensational running back. He, you could argue, is the best running back of all time, starting from high school all the way through
Lifetime
NFL.
Achievement Award for football.
Lifetime achievement. And I understand that not every player is totally NFL ready. I get that. Sometimes you got to hold back guys a little bit before they can develop into their true potential. But, I mean, come on. He won the Heisman Trophy.
150-plus in a playoff win in Kansas City before Vrabel.
Yeah, you guys have to go to break. I'll send you a list of Heisman winners and their NFL achievements. I mean, all due respect, Caroline, if you were here and watched him every run
back
then,
I was not here.
You would totally agree with me. Because Jared's on an island.
Joe Retro tomorrow at 6 a.m. Caroline's got to tell us about BetUS. I want to hit on what Joe was just talking about right there. We'll do that next. Tell us about BetUS, Caroline.
We appreciate you, Joe. And I also appreciate BetUS football is back, finally. And if you want to bet on whoever was in the stadium on Monday, I guess you can kind of do that too, because you can bet on anything on BetUS, and that is exactly why I endorse them. BetUS has been America's favorite sports book for over 25 years, so you know that they have integrity, you know that they have longevity, and you know that with BetUS, when you win, you are going to get paid. With BetUS, you can bet on anything. Live betting, MMA, golf, horses, esports, all kinds of crazy prop bets. Anything you want to put money on, you can do that with BetUS. So call them today, and they will walk you through setting up an account. I've done it. It's so easy. All you have to do is call 1-800-79-BETUS. That is 1-800-79-BETUS, and they will walk you through setting up an account. Nobody in the industry gives bigger bonuses than BetUS, so if you join now, mention promo code GAME, you can get a sign-up bonus on your first deposit. Nobody in the industry beats BetUS's bonuses. I bet at BetUS, so should you, so go now to BetUS.com. Join today, put in promo code GAME for a sign-up bonus on your first deposit. That is BetUS.com.
Down 6-0, Tannehill had just thrown an interception, and Henry exposed for that play. How much life did that breathe
into you? It was huge, and we continue to jump on Derek's back, and he's willing and able to carry us. And it's just it's something that you know that you have in your back pocket and front pocket. We pull it out, and we use it, and you know, it just gave us a big shot of life there, and our defense, give them credit for holding some field goals there early, and you know, there's a lot of mistakes and a lot of things we can do better because we're close. You know, there's glimpses of good football in there.
There you go. That was Vrabel. We're close. Derek, he put us on his back, and you're lucky that 3 years ago, in my opinion, you guys tried to hold him back. Chris Mortensen reported in November of 2018, the Titans tried to trade Derrick Henry at the deadline. Now, Floyd vehemently denied it, and his theory was that Mortensen had to have something to go with, and who's a big name that you could say possibly could be traded? Derrick Henry. And I was in a rock and a hard place, because I knew that if I told Floyd that I thought Mortensen was telling the truth, he'd shut off on it. Andy was friends with Robinson. Andy was friends with Mortensen. So it was really hard for me to decipher through all of that. But that is the report, was that they tried to trade Derrick Henry. Matt LaFleur never wanted to use him, never knew how to use him. Mike Vrabel, you know, calling the shots with Matt LaFleur there. And Joe Rexroad has the audacity to say that Derrick Henry was no good until Eddie George talked to him, and then he became the best player in the National Football League. And I just don't believe that.
I don't think he said he was no good until he talked to Eddie George. Let's be fair to our friend Joe Rexroad.
You are no good if Deion Lewis gets the ball more than you.
Okay.
Monday night versus Dallas, 19 carries for Deion, 6 for 27, and a touchdown for Derek. I mean, if you went to somebody today and said that you called that, I mean, they'd laugh you out of the building. Deion Lewis against the Chargers actually had 13 carries. Derek Henry had 12. Derek did have a touchdown, though. I mean, and Deion wasn't as bad then as he is now, or now I guess he's retired. But, I mean, people, Derek Henry is this organization. And they did not give him the rock. They did not give him the rock until he ran for 99 yards against Jacksonville. And Joe just won't admit it. And it drives me crazy.
I mean, like, I get it. I get it.
Like, you were still in college, so it's kind of hard for you to be like, oh, yeah, I remember that game where they...
Well, I watched Derrick Henry play when he was in college.
No, but I'm talking about, like, knowing Derrick Henry in 2018.
Right, I was not here.
Like, that noon kickoff that Andrew Catalan called, like, that wasn't getting through to the sorority house at Kappa Sigma.
Nope, that's fraternity. That is not a house. To be fair, no, I was not here in 2018, so I don't know exactly how he was managed or mismanaged or what exactly Derrick Henry contributed to this team. But I do know that in 2015, Derrick Henry was a damn good football player. And I don't think that really changed in 2018. And I do get it that some guys need some developing. I do get it that if you step on the field day one, game one as a rookie, you aren't going to be in peak form. You're not going to be an MVP candidate. I get it. I just find it very hard to believe that Derrick Henry wasn't at least, you know, NFL ready in 2018.
I'm looking through some of my old tweets from 2018, and they are pretty much all about Matt LaFleur. Titans up 6-3, second drive. Matt LaFleur inexplicably takes Derrick Henry out of the game. Why is the offense best player on the sidelines? Henry was averaging 5.6 yards per carry on the first drive before the Wildcat run and TD, which was from the one-yard line. Let's see. The Titans ran six plays on that drive. Derrick Henry got it once. Unacceptable, Matt LaFleur. That was on December 22nd, 2018. Try to see if there's anything before that. Here you go. November 5th, 2018. It's third and one, and Derrick Henry is on the bench. LaFleur has no use for him. That coming from me. So, there you go. I was always against that. We do now have some new information, by the way, on Joe's fake claims of 25% Buffalo fans. Please tell the people what this new information you found is.
Thank you very much to John in White House who sent this in. It's a picture of his TV screen. He's watching ESPN. According to Vivid Seats, out of 68,000 total fans, 58% Bills fans, 42% Titans fans.
Now, we're not going to go into how Vivid Seats figures that out.
And I don't know if that is totally accurate or what information Vivid Seats has. But this is all the information that we have, and I am just reporting it.
Like, how can you, like, I was wearing a Louisville jacket. Like, how do you?
Well, I don't know. I don't know if it was, like, you know, tickets sold on Vivid Seats and they're going by zip code or address or whatever it was. I have no idea how they know that.
But you know what? That's better than any element of way that Joe Rexroad has used
it's
to discover
than
whether or not his take was right compared to, at least we've got somebody who's willing to put their hand up and say, hey, here are the stats.
I mean, now, all I we have is just our eyes. Stats, all we have is our eyes and our ears, according to Joe Rexroad. But this is the closest scientific data that we have, whether it's true or not.
I mean, Joe is...
Joe is angry.
Joe's mad. He's gone all Sidney Powell on me here about how mad he is at Vivid Seats.
What does he know about Vivid Seats?
Well, he's questioning Vivid Seats. You know, it's like these people that don't like outcomes of certain things. So instead of questioning whether or not what they thought was not true, what they just do is say that they got cheated. And that's what Joe's doing right here.
Yeah, he's saying, you know, what does Vivid Seats know?
I mean,
what do you know, Joe?
Joe, sitting in the press box, said, I can look across the field up to the 300 levels, and I can tell if that guy is wearing a blue Bills shirt or a blue Titans shirt, which is the biggest load of crap I have ever heard out of Joe Rex.
And I was so bundled up, I don't think anyone could tell what shirt I was wearing. I mean, was freezing.
I was wearing a Louisville jacket.
Yeah.
I ran into Trent Dilfer at the game, and we were talking about Louisville because his daughter plays volleyball there. Like,
go Cardinals.
Come on. Yes.
Ooh.
Yes. Go Cardinals is right. I mean, Joe, like, come on. Like,
I mean, I was with someone who was wearing an Ole Miss jersey. Like, how do they know?
I mean, it's just nuts. It's just nuts. Like, I don't get it. I don't get how Joe Rexroad. Joe, here's the thing that's funny. And this is where tone means everything. Chris Sanders can say the wildest stuff. And everybody loves it and loves him because Chris is so enthusiastic and he is
and
such
he is
a nice guy.
The nicest person in America.
Like the first day I started, I asked Floyd, I was like, hey, who's a former Titan that would be like good on the radio? He's like, Chris Sanders. Like, okay. And Chris, nicest guy in the world, says some wildly crazy stuff. But, you know, everybody laughs because everybody loves Chris. And then, like, Joe is so wrong so often about so many things, and is just as stubborn, if not more stubborn than me, to admit that he's wrong.
Ah, easy there.
When's the last time I would not admit to being wrong?
I'm not going to play this game with you.
I am very easy to put my hand up and say, hey, I thought that this guy was going to be good. He wasn't. Joe can't. But Joe is just as adamant about being like right when he's wrong, and nobody ever like puts on him the same things that people say about me when I feel like I'm more right than Joe and I feel like I'm more willing to admit that I'm wrong. I just have a stronger tone in how I deliver the message.
Joe has texted into our personal text lines. It says, StubHub says I'm a supermodel and SeatGeek says I'm 73% genius.
See, that's the way to do it. He takes numbers he doesn't like, so then he starts making fun of them so that it invalidates the stats that don't back up his argument when he has no stats to back up his argument.
What does 73% genius even mean? It sounds like, you know, 80% of the time it works every time.
Yeah.
Like, what does that even mean?
I don't know. Terry is up next on the fans. Phone line driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com. Go ahead, Terry.
Hey, guys, I just wanted to comment. I've been a season ticket holder since day one there. And I've been to every home game, I would think, with the exception of maybe 10 in the 22, 23 years they've been there.
Sure.
So I think both of you, all you guys are wrong. Everybody's got a different opinion of this. I sit in section 102, lower bowl, okay? We were surrounded by Bills fans, okay? They were everywhere. But there was also a lot of Titans fans. If I had to put an estimate on it, I would say 70-30, maybe 65-35. That's just my take from where I was at. We were right where the visitors come in and out. There were a lot of Bills fans in that area.
That you were surrounded by all these Bills fans and then go 70% Titans fans?
Because you can see the lower bowl, Jared. Now, I could not see all of the upper deck because I am when at night, the lights get in your eyes when you're looking up. You can't really see that. I'm talking about in our area around where the visiting teams come out, that they're always loaded with visiting fans. Always has. Our seats have been here since day one.
Sure.
Okay?
I'm not, Terry, I appreciate your call. I'm not denying what you said is, but here's my, like, I was surrounded by Bills fans, but I think it was 70% Titans fans. Based off of what? What you saw on the other side? Again, Bill Blue and Titan Blue are not that, like, it's hard to distinguish from a far way away. Is that Bill Blue or is that Titan Blue?
And they both use red as an accent color.
Yes!
I've seen plenty of red Bills jerseys and plenty of red Titans
and
jerseys.
It's like Pawpaw that I brought up in the last segment, his Harley Davidson hat that was wearing, you know, wearing his Harley Davidson hat and a blue shirt. I don't know who he was rooting for.
I don't know.
I'm going to say this. Buckle up for a lot of Chiefs fans this weekend. It's coming again. It's coming again. Caroline's coming up next. We got a baseball game to pick. We got two baseball games to pick. Well, I guess one's going on right
one's
now.
One's going on right now.
But we got a baseball game to pick, so we will do that coming up next here on Stillman and Company. Let me tell you about my Bolin Branch sheets. That's right. Everybody's got everyday essentials that they don't really ever want to think about. Sheets are right there on the list. You don't want to have to worry about what kind of sheets to get, and then you got to get new sheets, and now you got to think about it. So when you got to think about sheets, think about Bolin Branch. That's right. If your dream of a comfortable sheet is at a price that will not keep you up all night, look no further than Bolin Branch. Bolin Branch sent me a set of their sheets, and I abso-freaking-lutely loved them. I was actually thinking about it today when I was just lying, just nestled on the cloud that is my Bolin Branch sheets. And I was thinking to myself about how much I love these sheets, and not just, wow, you know, I'm supposed to tell everybody on the radio how much I love them, but I really, truly just love them. They are so comfortable. The signature hem sheets from Bolin Branch are the best sellers for a reason. They are buttery soft, lightweight, organic cotton in a classic satin weave for sheets that get softer over time. They're pretty soft, I'm not going to lie. I absolutely love them once again. Experience the best sheets you've ever felt at BolinBranch.com. Get 15% off your first set of sheets when you use the promo code Jared, J-A-R-E-D, Jared at checkout. That's Bolin Branch, B-O-L-L-A-N-D, branch.com, promo code Jared, J-A-R-E-D. Smashville Live comes on after us here on 102.5 The Game. Philip Tomasino will be on there. Let me tell all the fine folks that 102.5 The Game has your chance to win Preds tickets during the month of October. Just post a picture of your radio dial set to 102.5 The Game on social media, Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. Tag The Game and use hashtag Ticket Dash to be instantly qualified to win. Show us your dash, brought to you by Social Furniture. Support local and support social. I was truly believing the Braves were going to win last night once they got up 5-2.
Well, I feel like you had every right to believe that.
Well, but if you're a fan of the Braves, you know better than that. It's time now, as they are now still up 2-1. It's time now for Carolines.
Get in on the action. Put the money on the mahogany. What's on tap on the sports books? It's time to break it all down with Carolines. Here on Stillman and Company.
On ESPN.
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Carolines is brought to you by BetUS, America's favorite sportsbook, also my favorite sportsbook, for over 25 years. You can sign up at BetUS.com, mention promo code GAME, and get a sign-up bonus on your first deposit. We've got NLCS Game 4 tonight. Give me the Braves plus 1.5, minus 117. Dodgers are throwing out lefty Julio Urias on the mound. He is 20-3 with a 2.96 ERA in the regular season. He blew a save in Sunday's Game 2 loss. He allowed 2 runs on 3 hits in the 8th inning. Braves tied the game at 4 before winning it all 5-4. But I don't think he's going to let that happen again. The Braves originally announced Waskar Ynoa as the starter, but it was just announced that Jesse Chavez will replace him. He is 3-2 with a 2.14 ERA. They had a huge comeback last night. They've got all the momentum. I think the Braves keep it close, but I think the Dodgers get the win.
I'm going to take the Dodgers to the money line. I think Dodgers are going to win easily tonight. I think the Braves had the series in their hands, and they lost it. And I am hurting dearly from that game. I knew that the Luke Jackson magic was going to run out at some point. It ran out yesterday for the Braves. I think their hope is that they can keep it close with the bullpen game with Chavez today, and then find a way to win it like they did the first two.
Right.
I just don't feel very comfortable at that. The Dodgers have all the momentum. The Braves are this is your typical Braves choke job. I should have known it was coming. Dodgers win this game. I think it all comes down to tomorrow's game number 5. So I think today the Braves are using a bullpen game. They're going to punt. Chavez will get, they'll give him some runs. Drew Smyly will come in, get rocked, and that'll be that. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to take the Dodgers. That's going to do it for us. Tell us about BetUS.
Caroline's is brought to you by BetUS, America's favorite sports book for over 25 years. You can sign up at BetUS.com. Mention promo code GAME, G-A-M-E, to get a sign-up bonus on your first deposit.
That's it for us. Smashville Live, Rocco Grimaldi, Philip Tomasino with Chase. That's next. We'll see you tomorrow, too.